Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cenacle series, this special cenacle on this, the solemnity of the Epiphany of our Blessed Lord. And we're so blessed to have with us today the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy from two locations. So we have double the pleasure. I think that was a chewing gum commercial, I think, at one point in time. Maybe Sister Scholastica can confirm that for me. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, one of my favorites. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me bring in the sisters. I'm going to ask both to unmute themselves, and I'm going to focus the camera on them and not me. Are you able to unmute them?
Yeah, we did. We unmuted ourselves.
Okay, great. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Sister Teresa?
Can you hear us?
I can. Oh,
there we go.
Perfect.
Okay. Beautiful. Wonderful.
Buonasera.
Buonasera. I don't say it as well as you do, but I mean the same.
But I prefer the way you say.
Really? Why? Because you're amused. You're amused by
you
my
say,
accent.
You say buonasera.
Yeah. I sort of sing it. You know why? My wife's Filipino, and in some of the dialects, they sort of, when they talk, they sound like they're singing, and so I sort of, I mean, Sister Magdalena is not with us today, so she can confirm that. I mean, so it's almost like poetic. It like bounces, and sometimes it wears off. I'm not doing it intentionally. I don't have any accent. I don't. I think I've lost my New York accent from going to school there. I think I've lost most of my New Jersey accent, and I don't know. There is Pennsylvania accents, but I'm not quite sure. We're like on the border of the Amish and the people that have been here for hundreds of years, and those transients from New York or New Jersey. So I'm just a mutt. But I guess, I've been told by experts that mutts make the best dogs. So speaking of dogs, I there's got to be a story. Looks like a Dominican dog to me. Sister Scholastica, Sister Benedicta.
Yes, there is a story, and you hit it right on the head. So, we won't take up too much of the cenacle's time, but yes, so right before Christmas, at least here at San Marino, we adopted a dog from the animal shelter. This is Lily May. She's 9 years old, and she's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. And it was actually interesting, the story, how we got to this point. It started literally right after Thanksgiving. We discovered that through one of Benedicta's doctors that there was a chapel that this doctor liked to go to next to the dog shelter. And we were like, dog shelter? What dog shelter? And then we were like, when we started thinking about it, the possibility of, you know, should we get a dog or not? The thing is, we were a little bit undecided because, you see, like, I was interested in getting a dog, like, you know, like for protection in a sense, you know, like not really like a little lap dog. But then Benedicta, you were thinking, no, I want a small dog, that kind of thing. But then as it would happen that day, we had a technician come over, but she had to go and she couldn't stay. And she had shared with me after she came back, oh my gosh, I felt so bad leaving you alone with that man. And the priest who lives next door to us wasn't here. So she was thinking the worst possible scenario. If something were to happen, no one would hear you screaming. No one would help you. So when she came back, she said to me, okay, I'm with you. Yeah, we need a dog like for protection, not a lap dog.
Go ahead, please.
What happened was I happened to check the calendar, and as it was the feast day of Our Lady of Montserrat, which is very important for me because that's my mother's name. That's my middle name. And so I took that as a sign. Okay, maybe there's something going on here. So the next day we happened to be going out. So we were like, it won't hurt if we go look, you know? So we went to the shelter, and this is where we saw her for the first time, and we kind of had a connection. So we decided to do a novena to Our Lady of Montserrat. So we started on Christ the King, and we finished on December 4th, which was the Feast of St. Barbara. She's a huge saint for us here in our diocese. So that was another sign for us, okay. And we happened went to go to Milan the next day for a medical appointment for me. So we visited the Duomo, we visited St. Ambrose and Santa Maria della Grazia. And this is the part where you hit it right on the nail on the head, Peter, as Dominican. There's a small chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is kept inside Santa Maria della Grazia, which is the church right next door to the building where the original Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper painting is held. Yeah, so we were there. And there's a beautiful image of Our Lady. So as soon as I walk in the chapel, boom, I'm just running to the end of the chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is, and there's Our Lady. So while we were there, I said the same intention. I was praying the whole day, the same intention we said for the novena. If it is your will, Lord, that we get a dog, please give us a very clear sign and answer, yes or no. If your answer is yes, then also please be very clear which dog you want us to adopt. Okay, so we say the prayer, and as soon as I'm leaving, Benedicta stops me. She's like, Scholastica, look on the wall. There was a painting, centuries old, of St. Dominic. Next to him was a dog, the exact spitting image of Lily Mae. No joke. It was as if someone painted her hundreds of years ago, even down to the paint, the markings on her paws. And we were in shock. I was like, that's it. That's the sign. So we asked Mother for her permission and blessing, and she was totally cool with it. And then we submitted the application, and they told us, okay, we'll come for your home inspection on December 12th, which is Our Lady of Guadalupe. And basically our whole house, especially our chapel, is dedicated to Our Lady Guadalupe. So we took that as a sign. So we had the home inspection. They says, okay, we'll come back for a second visit on the 14th with the St. John of the Cross. And I don't know if many people know, but he received a miracle from Our Lady. He escaped from the brothers when he was imprisoned because he was doing the whole reformation of the Carmelite order. They were persecuting him. Well, he managed to escape, but he was still stuck in the courtyard with the cloister wall. So he prayed to Our Lady saying, Mama Mary, please help me to escape. As soon as he finished his prayer, he heard a dog bark. And the monks did not have a dog. So he saw this like gray looking dog, and the dog led him to a hole in the cloister wall. So he goes through. When he gets to the other side, the dog disappeared. And when he looked behind him, the hole in the wall disappeared. So for us, that was another sign. Oh my goodness, Our Lady. So after that, they said that we could adopt her. So it was the next day, the 15th. But then I was like, this is really weird. Our Lady was all over this whole journey about this dog. It's kind of weird that she's coming to us finally on a day that's nothing, no feast going on. Well, we didn't realize this, but we had arranged to have her blessed by the Franciscans. They have a church near us. So we agreed on the 15th, we'll go bring the dog and get her blessed and all that. Well, her sister, Benedicta's sister, found out the 15th is the feast of Our Lady, Queen of the Seraphic Franciscan Order. You can't make this stuff up. So no, that's how she came to us. God has a purpose for us, for her being a part of our lives. And so we're just along for the ride. But yeah, St. Dominic's has a big part too.
Well, I have a quick comment on that. You know, you mentioned early on about, you know, you don't want to take time away from the cynical, but I think what you just experienced, I think, is an example to all of us that, you know, these miracles, these epiphanies are all around us every day. The vast majority of them we fail to recognize as being what they are. And again, bringing to light this, maybe perhaps we'll look around and see when things happen. You know, it's not by chance. Nothing's by chance. And also, you know, you mentioned about the size of the dog. You know, we all know that the smaller the dog, the bigger the bark.
Yeah,
you know, well, sort of like people sometimes.
Quiet. She's very quiet. She usually barks as an extreme last resort.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what you want as a last resort. Yeah, I'm sort of a last resort also. That's why they allowed me on here. Sister Teresa, Sister Elizabeth, Sister Francesca. Am I muted?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to explain what resort means.
Oh,
But
yeah.
all we
Well,
got up to was that it means spa, the last spa.
explain it to me
But I
too.
couldn't explain in that context what it means. Sorry.
Oh, what did
Also, because Sister Scholastica has a very rich vocabulary, so we are really, yeah, it's true. We are not joking.
Jump up and
yeah.
down, click your heels, incandescently happy over there in San
Yeah,
Marino.
this is
Okay.
not a big story.
I have to tell that story now that I've made that
Yeah,
comment.
yeah, yeah,
I'll
yeah,
make
yeah.
it quick. Years ago, when Scholastica was making her first vows, the bishop wanted to interview her. He usually interviews all of us before our vows to make sure that we're ready and that we're happy. So I'm translating for Sister Scholastica, and I'm only in Italy a few years. We speak English in the house. So my Italian's, not great. I'm doing my best in translating. And she's using her very extensive vocabulary in her answers to his questions. So I'm like sweating trying to translate everything she's saying. And I pat myself on the back. I was doing pretty good until the final question when the bishop says, "And so, sister, are you happy?" So to answer that question, I think she quotes a line from Pride and Prejudice and she goes, "Your Excellency, I'm jump up and down, click my heels, incandescently happy." And I just looked at her. I thought, how am I supposed to translate that to Italian? So I just looked at the bishop. I said, she's very,
She's very
very
happy.
happy.
But you know what's so funny about that too is you thought that your difficulty may come from what the bishop was speaking, but yet it was Sister Scholastica who gave you the biggest problem. Isn't that amazing? Troublemaker, you.
One of our favorite
Well,
stories.
isn't this glorious that we fall on these beautiful feast days? I mean, today the Epiphany, and again, your preempt with your story there, Sister Scholastica, again, it is an epiphany or epiphanies in of itself, as you were led to recognize that this dog is really meant for you. I mean, God showed you subtly, and He showed you directly, and He showed you just like He shows
Yeah.
us what we're looking. And you know, I was thinking about also is, think about the Magi. They brought gifts. Okay, there was significance. They were giving homage and homage and honor to our Lord, but they were giving gifts. Our Holy Church, we give, there's a presentation of the gifts, right? The bread, the wine, and then the money. And now God also is looking for our gift, the ultimate gift, which is the surrender of our human will. So again, the lineage is so beautiful, and God, nothing is by chance. God has placed all these breadcrumbs in the forest to lead us back, but we need to be able to recognize them or actually be looking down at them in this particular case to see where the trail is. And the trail is, of course, through the book and with the book of heaven. It's just incredible. Everything's connected.
Yeah, indeed. It was like imagine we started this journey November 24th, and she came to us on the 15th. But every single day, there was at least, I'm not kidding you, at least one sign going in that direction. So it pretty much for the whole journey, we were just pretty much in awe and shock about what was going on with all these different signs. And we kept on asking ourselves, what is it about this dog? What is the plan with this dog? Like we're really wondering, we still are, what does the future hold? Like, because it
But
was so very clear.
some of it we kind of already know because
Yeah.
we've got to take her out 3 times a day. So we're out with people, we talk to people
Oh
more
yeah,
now.
more people talk to
Approach
us. They're
us.
approaching
Yeah.
us.
They
They
see you
tell us
more,
their
yeah.
prayer intentions. If they got some problems they want to talk with us about. And lots of times, just seeing her, like, because she loves people. She always wants to greet with people. She wants to play with other dogs. And now she's also discovering playing with kids. She loves playing with kids now. So I think that even if we don't like talk to someone about religious stuff, or even if we don't speak to someone at all, just sometimes I see they just see her walking by and us with them, they just smile or something that they weren't
Yeah,
smiling before. So,
absolutely.
the Lord knows, like she really is, in a way, she's really helping us to evangelize more over
Yeah,
here.
preach
And
always and sometimes use words, right?
yeah,
They see you in
exactly.
public and you have an opportunity. And you know, you mentioned about, we don't understand it. Remember what the Saint Augustine said, quote, if you understand God, it's not God. So to think we understand God is frivolous. It's just it's silly. But we do graduate closer to knowing more of Him as we journey again through the book of heaven, through the gift of the divine will. And also, this is going to be our journey continues in eternity in heaven. We're still going to be in this kindergarten for all of eternity. That's a pretty good thing.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
Sister Teresa.
Boo, boo, boo. No, no, I'm joking. But when you say that we cannot understand God, you make me think recently I was reading a book about Mary Magdalene. The author was Cardinale Martini. Now he's dead. And was a book, he wrote this book like a synthesis that he make a spiritual exercise in the Holy Land for some lay consecrated women. And he speak about the means of discovering for us our Hebrew roots. And he said that our Occidental faith is more, has some root from Greek tradition, Greek culture. And the Greek want to apply the mind to understand something. This is the foundation of the idolatry. I can understand something to possess that object. But in Mary Magdalene was the faith was Hebrew because she had the experience of to be free from Jesus, from all the demons that she has inside, and was the same experience of the Hebrew people, because they didn't want to explain who is God, but they start to write the Bible, the beginning is not the Genesis. The beginning is the Exodus, the experience that God make the people free from the Pharaoh. So it's important for us to not focus much on about, this is a risk that sometimes you can read, okay, now I read the book of heaven, I can understand God. No, it's only a human way also, even if it's a divine language, but it's in any case a human way to prepare our mind to the beauty of heaven, the beauty of to share divine life. And true. Yes. And it sometimes, because I was thinking, what is, I was hearing also about the sisters who was reading some books about the Hebrew roots of our faith. Also some priests in some videos on YouTube, they speak about our Hebrew roots. And I was thinking, oh, probably I have to study with the Hebrew believing, because I don't know what is my root. This is the first step, to have experience of God. The little experience, and this is what happened to the Magi kings. They have the experience of God. Yes, there is a component they were studying to looking for this king. They believe in the writings, the word of God, but they had the experience. The most important part of their faith was sigillato, sealed. Was sealed by the experience of God. And speaking of this, I can start with my meditation from volume 4. This is January 6th. January 6th, 1901. And Luisa said, as I was outside of myself, it seems to see the moment when the Holy Magi arrived at the Grotto of Bethlehem. As they arrived in the presence of the baby, he pleased to let the rays of his divinity shine eternally, communicating himself to the Magi in three ways: through love, through beauty, and through power, in such a way that they remained enraptured in the presence of little baby Jesus. So much so that in the Lord, if the Lord had not withdrawn the rays of his divinity eternally again, they would have remained there forever, unable to move anymore. I was in my imagination has these three kings with the camels. They was traveling for a long time, and they arrived in front of a baby, a divine baby, and they have the risk to stay there forever. How much big is the power, the beauty, and the love of God? And has the baby? So I won't. Yeah, it was Luisa. It was.
We understand that in any language.
Then I was speaking with one of the Magi. Yeah. Then has the baby withdrew his divinity, the holy Magi returned into themselves. So they have an ecstasy. We have to interpret it in this way. Returned into themselves. They were outside of themselves. They stirred themselves stupefied in seeing an excess of love so great, because through that light the Lord had let them understand the mystery of the incarnation. And this is the second reading of today. Today we were reading at the Mass, the St. Paul say that Jesus revealed to us the mystery that the Gentiles has to call to share the heredity in the faith of God, so to share the participation of the divine life. We can understand this, meditating the word of God by St. Paul. We have a treasure, because we go to the fount through the sacrament, but they see with their eyes. And this is a big mystery, because in these three kings, we have to see all the nations, all the Gentiles. And this is the means. Now, this is the risk to explain God. No, we are not explaining. We are trying to understand for opening our heart and to change. If we don't open our heart and if we don't change our life, it's only speaking. It's not necessary. But the incarnation is Jesus came not only for a chosen people, a part of people, the Hebrew. He came from all the humanity, because he made the fusion, a marriage with all the human generations. And this is for us is a seed of a big hope, because if we think there are a lot of war in the world, a lot of problem, all the nations are so far from God, we have to be faith. We have to have faith. We have to continue to live our fusion, our intimacy with God, pray united with the church, because one day God will make all right, also with all the Gentiles. And after she say, after this, I withdrew inside myself, and I found myself together with Jesus. And Jesus told Luisa, by having communicated, seeing that I was not saying anything, he himself continued to speak about the Holy Magi, telling me, by having communicated myself to the Magi in three ways, I obtained three effects for them. Because I never communicate myself to souls uselessly. Rather, they always receive some profit for themselves. So as I communicated myself through love, they obtained detachment from themselves. Through beauty, they obtained contempt for earthly things. And through power, their hearts remained all bound to me, and they obtained the bravery to lay down their blood and lives for me. I think this is a three way for us to approach the relation with Jesus, because he's telling us not only for giving us a news, but for teaching us how we have to approach him. So through love, so we have to, if we want to enter in the dimension of love, sometimes also for us nuns is so strange to feel in our heart, so sorry, God, but I don't feel any love. Yes, because I'm searching love in myself. There is no love. I yet to enter in the dimension of love, in God, to take the love. So what I have to do? I have to cut with my person, because I am called to have a relation with God. So I have to be detachment, not only from other people, but from myself. True beauty, so because I have to enter in God. True beauty, because we are too much distracted from earthly things. Yes, we have to enjoy earthly things, but they have not to call all our attention and devotion. And through power, their hearts remain it all bound to me. If we do the first two steps, detachment from ourselves and good use of earthly things, we can be bound from this power. And only this power can change our life, our mind.
Right. It's going to free us from, it's going to help dispose us to receive the light, the grace that otherwise is fogged up with our human will. You know, you mentioned about awakening in the beginning of your reflection. And you know, awakening is, that's a great way to put it also. As we gravitate closer to God, we're awakened. But, you know, there are so many levels of awakening. You know, just think about our human awakening. You know, we first wake up, one eye open, one eye closed. Next level of it is we sit on the bed. I mean, I'm talking about myself, you know, so it doesn't, I need 14 stages where I'm actually awake, where I'm able to comprehend and articulate things. But the same thing here, just because we've opened our eyes, that's just the beginning. Now God's allowing us to see what we otherwise could not see. I think that's so great. And when you mentioned about looking inside ourselves, looking outside ourselves, you know, Jesus tells us, if we look hard enough inside, we're going to find him. He says it in volume 3, August 3rd, 1900. He says, quote, my daughter, why do you look for me outside of yourself while you could find me more easily within yourself? End quote. But even within ourselves, we've got to get through a lot of fog and a lot of mess and stuff we don't need to get to him. Again, the more junk you clear out of a room, the more easy it is to find what you're looking for. At least in my life, it's been.
Yeah, no, amen. And the beautiful thing is, it's like he wants to even help us remove that junk. So even like that act of like removing the junk is our moments of intimacy with him, which is so beautiful. You're muted, Peter.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say he has the dumpster outside. He's just waiting for us to toss it. But that's where it's so hard for us to let go of some of the stuff, at least for myself.
Yeah. No, no, me too. I'll join that club. I chose today my passage from the Virgin Mary book. It's actually one of my favorite passages from the Virgin Mary book. And it comes from the appendix. It's Meditation 4, and it's about surprise, surprise, the Magi's visiting Jesus. It's a little bit long, but you know, I don't know how to choose short passages, but so I'll get started. I'll try to read fast. Just kidding.
Okay. We have time.
This is Our Lady. Now, my blessed child, the divinity who can deny nothing to the one who loves it, makes a new star, more beautiful and radiant, arise under the blue heavens. And with its light, it goes in search of adorers to say to the whole world with its mute glittering, the one who has come to save you is born. Come to adore him and to know him as your savior. Just going to stop there for one second, because this part, when I was reading it and praying with it before, come to know him as your savior. I just feel like these are very consoling words for maybe those out there who struggle with perfectionism and scrupulosity. I'm in the recovering club, you know, it's a struggle of mine. But the beautiful thing is, I heard the other day in a homily, you know, the Lord delights in being our savior. So even our sins can bring us closer to him when we truly repent of them and we trust in his mercy. He just loves that we're trusting in him as our savior. So just thought that was so beautiful. But the key is we have to realize that we need to be saved. I think part of our problem is we're trying to save ourselves most of the time and trying to fix what we've broken. But really, we have to get to the point where it's just like, all right, I'm so little. You just have to give me that all that wonderful free love and mercy. And he delights to do that. But human ingratitude, among many, only three people paid attention and without considering the sacrifices, put themselves on the path to follow the star. And just as a star guided their persons along the path, so also my prayers, my love, my sighs, and my graces, in my desire of making known the celestial baby, the awaited one from all centuries. My dearest child, my heart of a mother rejoiced for the faithfulness, the correspondence, and the sacrifice of these Magi kings to come to know and adore my son. But I cannot hide from you the secret sorrow of mine, among many, only three. In the history of the centuries, how many times is this sorrow of mine and this human ingratitude not repeated? My son and I do nothing but make stars arise, one more beautiful than the other, to call some to know their creator, some to sanctity, some to rise again from sin, some to heroism of a sacrifice. But do you want to know what these stars are? And this is the part I really love that always speaks to me. A painful encounter is a star. A truth that one comes to know is a star. A love unrequited by other creatures is a star. A setback, a suffering, a disappointment, an unexpected fortune are many stars which shed light in the minds of creatures. Caressing them, they want to make them find the celestial infant who is fidgeting with love, shivering with cold, and seeking a refuge in their hearts to be known and loved. But alas, I who hold him in my arms wait in vain for the stars to bring me the creatures in order to place him in their hearts. And my maternity is restrained and hindered. While I am the mother of Jesus, I am prevented from being the mother of all because they are not around me and do not look for Jesus. So the stars hide and they remain in the Jerusalems of the world without Jesus. What sorrow, my child, what sorrow. It takes confidence, fidelity, and sacrifice to follow the stars. And if the sun of the divine will rises within the soul, how much attention does it not take? Otherwise, one remains in the darkness of the human will. So, I mean, Our Lady listed, you know, painful things and also positive things that are all stars in our lives that lead us to Jesus. I think sometimes the positive things, it's a little easier for us to see because, you know, when graces come in the positive form and, you know, things that are pleasing to us, we feel God's love more. But it's the negative ones. It's the crosses. It's the painful encounters, the disappointments, the sufferings, the setbacks, the love unrequited. Oh my gosh, is there any more painful suffering than that? A lot of times, we think that those are things that pull us away from the Lord. And so we don't go to him. And sometimes it's even our own sin, our own weaknesses, our own falls. We think that they pull us away from the Lord, but really there are stars in our lives. And I'm not saying the sin itself, but when we realize that sin and we're called to repentance, like all of these things, it's the Lord is drawing us to deeper intimacy with him. They're all doors in which he can enter more closely to us. But we have to, the devil doesn't want that. The devil wants to do everything to lead us away from the Lord. So in those moments, we really have to hold on to the truth and proclaim the truth that no, this is, the Lord doesn't escape from me. If anything, in my brokenness and all of these painful encounters, he's drawing closer to me. And we have to hold on to that truth. And then the other thing I thought was so beautiful was Our Lady was saying before how together with the star, she was calling the wise men. She was touching their hearts with her grace. So that's what Our Lady does with us too, in whatever's happening to us throughout our lives, in all of these stars that fill our daily lives. It's not even just once in a while, like you were saying before, Peter. It's like every day and every moment, there's these stars drawing us to the Lord, and Our Lady's there just kind of like wooing us to come to her son. It's just such a beautiful image. And then I'm just going to read this last part. Now, my child, as they entered Jerusalem, the holy Magi kings lost the star. But still, they did not stop looking for Jesus. And that's the important thing, because a lot of times in sufferings, we do feel abandoned. We feel like we're in darkness. But we have to keep looking for Jesus, like Our Lady did for those 3 days when she lost him in the temple. We have to keep looking. He wants us to look for him. He wants us to yearn for him. But as they went outside the city, the star reappeared and led them festive into the grotto of Bethlehem. I received them with the love of a mother, and the dear baby looked at them with great love and majesty, letting his divinity shine through his little humanity. Bowing down, they knelt at his feet, and adoring and contemplating that celestial baby, they recognized him as true God. They remained enraptured, ecstatic, enjoying him, so much so that the celestial baby had to withdraw his divinity into his humanity. Otherwise, they would have remained there, unable to move from his divine feet. And this could be a beautiful prayer exercise when we're in the midst of suffering and we're tempted to think that, you know, it's a suffering that draws us away from Jesus. Put yourself in the position of the Magi, you know, bring yourself before Jesus, bow before him, kneel before him, and allow him to look at you with delight, even in those things that cause you so much pain. Allow his love to heal whatever it is that's going on in your life or in your heart. Then as they came round from their rapture, in which they offered the gold of their souls, the incense of their faith and adoration, the myrrh and the myrrh of all of their beings and of any sacrifice he might have wanted, they added the offering of the external gifts, symbol of their interior acts, gold, incense, and myrrh. When I just read this last part, the three words that came to mind were receive, respond, and return. You know, they gave the incense of their faith. John Paul II called faith the openness of the bridegroom to the gift of the bride. No, the openness of the bride to the gift of the bridegroom. And the bridegroom, Jesus, just wants, what's his gift? His very self, his very will, all that he is, he wants to give it to us. But it takes our faith to open ourselves up to that gift. Responding, what's our response? How does the bride respond to the bridegroom's gift of himself? I love you too. You know, adoration, deep love for all of the love that the bridegroom is giving to her. And finally, the myrrh of their whole beings, you know, that's the return of love. Jesus gives us everything. And how can we give him anything less than not only what he's given us, but the little drop of who we are too. All of our whole beings he wants us to give back to him. So that's all I got. So it's just so beautiful. So again, I just invite everybody, you know, bring this to prayer, you know, place yourself in the position of the wise men, you know, go to Bethlehem, be before Jesus, no matter what's going on in your lives and your hearts, and see what Jesus has to say to you, see what he has to give to you, and just gaze upon him gazing upon you.
That's so true. You know, just meditate. It's been years since I have meditated on the Magi, but there are so many, everything that's gone before us, God has endowed in it beautiful lessons, beautiful truths that are veiled, they're uncovered. He's only going to release. Remember when he says, I'm paraphrasing, the vast majority of grace and graces and gifts that I want to give you can only be given to you once you enter into my divine will. Now, I think that's where there's a bit of a miscommunication. I think many people, at least articulating to me, think that entering into the divine will means that you're at the level of Luisa Picaretta. That's really not even close. Jesus states that anyone in the state of grace can enter into this gift. In fact, even Father Iannuzzi corroborates that in his book, The Splendor of Creation. He says, immediate entry, he says, quote, that anyone in the state of grace can immediately experience God's eternal mode of activity, end quote. So again, it's getting our foot in the door so that we may receive all those grace and graces that we can only get once we're in. So again, it's a progression. And I think he gives us that lesson every day, a little bit at a time, bit by bit, step by step, or crawl by crawl, in my case. Sister?
Us too. No, I just want to say, I just read that the other day where Jesus said it twice, I think, in the same passage. It was somewhere in volume 36. He goes, it's there for everybody to come in. He doesn't make any stipulations. Obviously, we need to be in a state of grace. But other than that, he wants you the way you are, and he's going to take care of the rest.
Yeah, actually, I don't have it in front of me, buddy. We read this to nauseam, but there's another quote that he just basically says, this is for everyone, all souls, in all situations, and in all conditions, and in every circumstance. Again, this is not only for a select few. It's just a little bit. And think about this also. We were talking about the breadcrumbs, and I think about this also. Again, of course, we know that the time is now that that this gift is being given to us, and that's how we know that things are getting close, because again, we have this gift now. But with these breadcrumbs, saints in the past have actually, they've had the desire too to go back, just like many of us, and they've picked up a few of those breadcrumbs. They haven't had the full trail to get back, but they did pick up some, and they've been able to utilize that. And again, I think that's beautiful ammunition for us. Like, we just recently celebrated the feast of Saint Anne Seton. I mean, I was not familiar at all, forgive me, Lord, with really any of her quotes, but I started reading some of her quotes. It's the divine will. I mean, I'm just going to do two of them. This is beautiful. I love this. I'm going to try to copy this. This is what she prayed, quote, oh my God, forgive me what I have been, correct what I am, and direct what I shall be, end quote. Then she goes on to say, without prayer, I should be of little service. Remember, the Trinity is allowing us into union with God through the means and methods of prayer in all its variations. And then last but not least, how about this? She says, two more. The union of my soul with God is my wealth in poverty. It is my joy in my deepest affliction. Boom, divine will. And then last but not least, her last words before leaving this earth were, I am going to light, to love, and to life. Remember, Jesus says it in a little bit of a different way. He says, love, light, and life. just transposing the words. So in essence, in her last moments of life on earth, was she seeing her entrance in the divine will? I'll leave that for the imagination, sisters.
Yeah, when you were speaking about Saint Anne Elizabeth Seton and her quotes being really divine will, there's another saint we discovered recently. We went to her shrine, Saint Veronica Giuliani. I picked her as a saint, and she's really amazing. Sister Teresa knows a lot about her, but she has this quote that divine will, I mean literally divine will, is the source and the key of all the graces. And many quotes like that that really start with divine will that I saw there when we went. So, I mean, many of these saints were like on a threshold of it, but Jesus gave to Louisa the gift from her.
And it's also, sorry to interrupt you, sister, it's also good to identify the fact that, yeah, they were on the threshold, but to no fault of their own, they didn't receive it. It just wasn't available. And yeah, we have a silly analogy of, you know, if I want to go out and buy a brand new 2030 Ford, I may have the intention, I may have the money, but I can't because it's not available yet. The same thing happened with the saints. They wanted this. Probably they wanted it more than we wanted it. But again, the gift just was not available. That's why we're so fortunate, really, to be alive at this time.
We are really so fortunate. What we can do for those saints, we can... you know, we can offer to the Eternal Father a divine version of their lives as if they lived it completely in the divine will, and they will be immensely happy and grateful to us and intercede for us from heaven. And you were mentioning breadcrumbs, and I just remember this story, you know, with a woman from... The dog and the breadcrumbs. How does it go? Yeah, from the gospel. The woman that wasn't a Jew, and
to be healed, I think. And she said that you are God.
Yeah, she wanted to circumvent God's healing, and he said, no, first I've got to go take care of the children first, right? He said, but it was her faith that said, okay, well, he says, listen, you know enough, I'm going to give it to you. So she was able to move God. Again, I sort of jump in there, but I love that, right, too. She was able to enchant God with her faith. Again, when Jesus says, it's your faith that heals you. Oh, and also, Sister Francesca was saying about faith. Jesus says, and he gives us the definition of faith in volume 2. I don't know where it is, but he says, faith is God. Very simple definition. Faith equals God. That's what he says. And I believe it.
It was beautiful. Also, Sister Francesca was quoting, was that Pope John Paul II, that the faith is the gift that, how did you say that?
Faith is the openness of the bride to the gift of the bridegroom.
And this really struck me because, yeah, I didn't think of it like that before. And also in this feast day of the Magi Kings, it's like how much they were open. I have the passage from the volume 20 about that. And they had, like it explained, Jesus explains to Louisa how much they had the dominion of self, the self-dominion. Which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the self-dominion, so that they could create an empty space inside of them to be able, you know, to hear this calling of God, because many people were seeing the star, but only the Magi Kings went to follow it. Like Sister Francesca was saying, the star can be many circumstances in life, like disappointments, disillusions, I don't know, and unrequited love. Just today I was talking with my family. On Sunday we talk to our families, and like all of these problems, my brother has this, my sister has something, my mom, my dad, everyone has something. And I was like, I wanted to cheer up the situation. I said, oh, that's great. Like, we're all suffering. It means like we're on the right way.
How'd that go over?
And my brother was like, really? if the people are in faith and if they're really reading the divine will and want to enter it, I mean, we can rejoice. Like how many times Jesus is telling to Lisa in, like to be the holy indifference, in bad circumstances and in the good circumstances. He said all the stones in the celestial Jerusalem will be round, like exactly the same. So yeah, about Magi kings. I have here the passage from volume 20. So January 6, 1927. The soul who lives in the divine will is always equal to herself, like I was saying before. The order of providence in the incarnation and in the manifestations of the Holy Magi. I was thinking about the Holy Magi when they visited the little baby Jesus in the grotto of Bethlehem. And my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, see the order of my divine providence. For the great portent of my incarnation, I chose and made use of a virgin, humble and poor. And as my custodian, who acted as father to me, the virgin Saint Joseph, who was so poor that he needed to work in order to support our lives. See how in the greatest works and the mystery of the incarnation could not be greater. We make use of people whose outward appearance attracts no one's attention, because dignity, scepters, riches are always fumes that blind the soul and prevent her from penetrating into the celestial mysteries in order to receive a great act of God and God himself." Like, only these three Magi kings went, like Sister Francesca read in a passage, Our Lady was sorrowful that it was only three of them, because many of the priests and scribes and Pharisees, they knew the what it said about Messiah. They knew it should be in Bethlehem. They all knew it, but they didn't go. You know, they were just like, they had the knowledge, but they were not open. So they did not have faith, actually. They did not have openness of the bride to the bridegroom. So it continues here. "But in order to manifest to the peoples the coming of myself, word of the Father upon earth, I wanted and made use of royal authority of learned and erudite men, so that by their authority they might diffuse the knowledges of the God now born, and eventually also impose themselves on the peoples." So only three of this erudite men, of this even rich, like they had a whole caravan behind themselves. I'm sure among the camels there was also a dog that was following them.
Probably, yeah. Black and white too, right?
Yeah. But so there were many shepherds and many poor people, but only three, you know, rich and knowledgeable men, the educated men. Because yeah, it says right here how hard it is, like when you already have a status and a reputation and all these things, how hard it is to, you know, just to leave it, to leave that empty space inside of you so that God can enter. So it says here, "In order to manifest to the peoples the coming of myself, word of the Father upon earth, I wanted and made use of royal authority of learned and erudite men, so that by their authority they might diffuse the knowledges of the God now born, and eventually also impose themselves on the peoples, because they had that power. They were powerful among men. But in spite of this, the star was seen by everyone, yet only three of them moved, pay attention and follow it. This says that among all, these alone possessed a certain dominion of themselves, such that, as it formed a little empty space within their interior, beyond the appearance of the star, they felt my call echoing in their interior, and heedless of sacrifices, of gossip, of mockeries, because they were leaving for an unknown place and they had to hear much talking, disregarding everything and dominating themselves. They followed the star that was united to my call, that more than speaking star, resounded in their interior, enlightened them, attracted them, and spoke many things about him whom they were to visit. And drunk with joy, they followed the star. So it, how Jesus explains here, it was this fruit of the Holy Spirit. So first they created this empty space, and then they received this dominion of selves, like that they can be heedless of all these sacrifices and of gossip and of mockeries. And I mean, really, if and in the other passage also, Jesus explains to Lisa how in these three Magi kings, in them there was a whole humanity represented. And also in other passages, it explains how this the gold that they brought was the gold of our own will, of our own human will, of ourselves. And myrrh was the gift of sacrifice of self. And then the frankincense, our prayers, not only our prayers, but giving in a prayer, offering to God much more than we can give. It explains like that. So how beautiful it will be if, you know, we can be like these three Magi kings and imagine ourselves in their voyage, in their trip. So just leaving everything, leaving your own country. But then there are many obstacles. There is Herod on their way. They don't listen to. I mean, they are very erudite men, and you know, everybody would say, okay, they would listen to some king, not a dream. But no, they really, because they were so open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, at the end they found baby Jesus. They found God.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing is also the, I guess it's desire. They weren't just looking for a star, but they were looking for a star to follow. I mean, they had that desire. You also mentioned about why the Pharisees and the scribes were not there. Jesus tries to explain that, I think, to us in volume 36. I don't have it. He says the divine will, and I think we've all experienced this, the divine will has two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, those who are craving, we may not know what we're craving for, but we're craving for something greater than what we have. It is going to be light, life, and love. Again, go back to St. Anselm's words. But for those who are not searching for this, like the three, if they were not looking for this, it's going to be blindness. And therefore, the scribes, the Pharisees, they didn't desire this. Again, because perhaps of the reasons you said, they were fearful of perhaps contention to their own positions or, you know, so it all depends. You can be at a place of high position, but you need to be disposed. I think St. Matthew was the flip side of that, right? He had a beautiful life. I mean, the Jews didn't consider a beautiful life, but he did. He had money, he had prestige, he had protection, he had everything. And Jesus, when he passed him, he could have said, okay, come here, Matthew, I've got some things to talk to you about, and, you know, go through a whole notebook of why you should follow him. He didn't. What did he say to him? Follow me. That's it. He was disposed enough to recognize that. And we pray for the same disposition, to drop everything, not to throw our responsibilities out the window. That's not what I'm saying. But to give preeminence to the divine will. That's what God says. He says we have to give up even holy things in order to embrace it and then go back to the holy things, because then we're hopefully doing it on a greater level. He's doing it for us on a greater level than we can if we're outside of that will. So just, it's all connected. And so it's so simple. I guess it's so complicated, right?
Yeah, that's so true. But I was thinking also how much the Magi suffered during the journey to go to Jesus, because they were kings. So I'm sure they were, they used to live a comfortable life. Probably not. I'm sure they did a lot of traveling, but that was a long travel that they did, and travel on a camel. This is how they show it to us, or whatever things they used. I'm sure it wasn't that comfortable. And I'm sure that sacrifice that they gave to baby Jesus when they got there, the sacrifice and maybe and everything that that a long travel can bring. It was accepted from Jesus with love. And this it's how Jesus was reading this passage today, how Jesus was saying to Luisa how he accepts everything, even the littlest thing that we offer to Jesus. For him, it's so important and so precious that we don't even think of it sometimes. So we think that we have to offer to Jesus big things or perfect things because we, humanly speaking, we want to usually give to other people big things and perfect things. Otherwise, the other person, we think that it won't accept it. But this is only our human way of thinking. But thank God it's not for Jesus, because he accepts everything. Even if we just say, even if we just think of him for a less than a second, he's the most happy person in the world. And the passage that I was reading today was from volume 31st. And I just read the last part that it say, "You must know that our love is so great that all creatures swim and are inside of this immense sea of our love. And as if we were not contented with so much immensity of this love of ours, our supreme being acts as a fisherman and goes fishing for the little tiny drops of love from creatures, their little acts, their little sacrifices, the pain suffered for our love, and one 'I love you' from the heart that she has told us. We fish for all from inside our same sea in order to take the contentment, the happiness of being reciprocated with love by the creature. And we crave it so much that we make of it our daily fishing and prepare our celestial table." So, "And I love you" for Jesus is very, very important. So it's important to, as Mother always says, to do rounds in the divine will and to place our "I love you" in everything that we, the Holy Spirit inspire us. Even we can relive the life of the Magi kings and put the "I love you" on all the things that they saw during the journey going to Bethlehem. Even in the adoration that they did to baby Jesus, to everything that our imagination will give us, we can put our "I love you," and then that, and Jesus will take of this little "I love yous" that we do. And we can also do it in for the Magi kings. We can do this "I love you," so it's important, of course, to pray with attention and with how do you say, with devotion, with fervor. But sometimes the fervor is not there. We want to. Sometimes we want to be attentive to the prayer, but most of the time we spend our prayer in a distract way. But at the same, at the right moment when we realize that we are distracted and we go back to Jesus and we offer that distraction, that's a powerful prayer. And Jesus accepts that. When I was reading this, it reminds me of a story that I think Mother told us once, and it's from someone that happened in America. A guy was running, doing some sport, and he saw an ambulance. And then whilst he was running, he was praying for the person in the ambulance, but not really in a fervent way, because he was running, he was distracted. But he said, "Hail Mary" for that person. And then it happens that, I don't know how long after, maybe a week after, he was passing from the same street, and a lady or this person stopped him and said, "Oh, thank you for that Hail Mary that you said on that day, because you saved my life for that Hail Mary." And he was he was shocked, because he thought that he didn't say that Hail Mary with that big devotion. He was kneeling down. He was just running. He saw the ambulance and he just prayed for that person. But that Hail Mary saved the life of that person. So just to say that prayers are very important, and Jesus, he takes everything out, all our requests, even if we think that we make it in a distracted way, or if we are not kneeling or wherever position that we think that it's holy for Jesus to listen. And then the passage ends with true love as the virtue of transforming things. It places a sweet enchantment to our divine pupils and renders the little loving acts of creatures beautiful, gracious, and pleasant to us. In a way, in a way that enraptures us, wounds us, and makes us happy. We make ourselves kidnappers, making of her our most welcome conquest. Therefore, if you want to make us happy and be bearer to your good, to your God, of joys and of happiness, love, always love. Don't ever stop loving us. And in order to be more secure, enclose all of yourselves in the divine fiat that will let nothing escape from you that is not love for your creator. So yeah, we have to love, to always love. As Jesus say here, love, always love. And then if we love, we are in the right position. I know sometimes it's very hard to love, but we have to ask the grace to love, even when it seems like that it's impossible to love the other person. It's impossible to love the person that it's making so much damage, maybe in your family or in wherever place it is. But that's our calling. That's what we have to do as a Catholic, as a Christian. Otherwise, we are not Christian if we don't love our enemies, if we don't love God. Only love can change things. If there is a war, if I respond with war, what does it create? A bigger war. But if I respond to war with love, then I'm sure something will happen. Maybe not straight away, maybe not even the second time that I love, but I'm sure with time that love will change something. So yeah, this is what I read today.
Benedicta, you have something to add to that?
Oh, well, I was thinking how intercessory prayer is so important. You know, we were talking about different saints, and how they're just there waiting for us to, you know, to ask for help, or for us to you know, like Sister Elizabeth had mentioned, to offer the divine life that the Lord lived for them. And but also, as Sister Gemma was going on, to intercessory prayer with us here on earth, you know, to pray for brothers and sisters. I think he told Sister Faustina that praying for the conversion of sinners is so pleasing to the Lord, and it's the prayer that is always heard and always answered. So we can never get tired of praying for the conversion of souls. I did want to share with me, because my meditation, which is, it's short. It was off of what I was reading. I was on a different volume, but a couple of days ago, I picked up this. I don't know how sometimes, you know, you look at notes and then you get, it takes you to a different volume. This is volume 17. Let me just give you the date real quick before I go into it, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's September 2nd, 1924. And Louisa sees this little child in her, this is her. She's having this mystical experience, and this little child in her that's very distraught and weak. And Jesus comes to console the child. And she asks Jesus, "Who is that child?" He said, "That was you," because she was so concerned that he was going to leave her and all of this. So then Jesus goes on and tells her this. He says, "My daughter, calm yourself. Do not fear. Your Jesus will not leave you.
I am jealous of your trust, nor do I want you to even slightly distrust me. See, I love so much the souls who are with me in full trust that many times I hide some defect or imperfection of theirs, or some lack of correspondence to my grace, so as to give them no occasion not to be with me in full trust. In fact, if the soul loses trust, she remains as though separated from me and all huddled within herself. She places herself at a painful distance from me, and so remaining paralyzed in her rush of love, she becomes paralyzed in sacrificing herself for me. Oh, how much harm does distrust cause? One can say that it is like the spring frost that arrests the growth of the plants. And many times, if it is intense, the frost arrests the development of virtues and puts cold into the most ardent love. Oh, how many times, because of lack of trust, my designs and the greatest sanctities are stopped. This is why I tolerate some defects rather than distrust, because those will never be harmful. And then how can I leave you? Then he goes on and he consoles her with that. But, you know, that brought me consolation because, you know, and like Sister Francesca was talking about, our struggles and how, all these, the crosses that are the stars. And sometimes you think this is what's separating me from God. This is what's, but really, if you just abandon, like Jesus tells us, abandon yourself, just fully trust, give it to him. He'll take care of it. You just, your desire is to be there with him. Your desire is to please him and to do his will, to live in his will, to glorify him and all of this. He sees that. And so, so it's okay. These imperfections, we're harder on ourselves, than when we really need to be, because of course, we should avoid sin. But even if you do fall, that's why the Lord gave us the sacraments. He gave us the church and, he knows that we're going to fall, and to think that we're not going to fall. I mean, that's, it's a disillusion because we're sinners, but, we're sinners, but we're also saints, we're saints in the divine will. Because you can't be in the divine will. And if you're in a state of grace, you're a saint. If you think you can't be in the divine will unless you're in a state of grace. So and that's why our prayers work, our intercessory prayers work, when we're in a state of grace, So I thought that was touching for me. And then also I was reading Faustina, and he tells her, if it hadn't been for this small imperfection, you wouldn't have come to me. So know that as often as you come to me, humbling yourself and asking for forgiveness, I pour out a superabundance of graces on your soul, and your imperfection vanishes before my eyes. I see only your love and your humility. You lose nothing but gain much. So that's really it should be comforting for all of us. We just have to come to our Lord in all humility and love, and, that's really, he's so good. That's all you need,
All you need is love. But da 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 da.
Yeah, I won't sing that, but that's a nice song. Sister, you articulating, and also going back to Sister Gemma talking about, God knows he's got to be amused by us. I think he's amused by our wretchedness, not our deliberate sinfulness, but our inability to do anything well. I think he knows that. And I think he chuckles at time from time, but he's making this easy. And I found that quote, if I may, it comes from volume 11, September 25th, 1913. So if you're ever having one of those dry days, pick this up, read these couple lines, and this is Jesus speaking to us. And by the way, this says the church is imprimatur nihil absat. So the church found nothing wrong with this. In fact, any of the volumes, they found nothing wrong. So this is what it states, Jesus speaking to us through Louisa. And he says, quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible and easy in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place. End quote. So there's no hiding from this. I mean, God, we can't hide from God. He knows where we are. And last but not least, actually, after Sister Scholastica speaks, I'll share something about Jesus says he wants to make this really easy and regarding the gifts, but we'll hold that for another time. Sister?
Okay. Well, I happened to find this today while I was reading. Technically, it's not a passage either about Epiphany or the baptism of our Lord, but I think I can wing it for the baptism of our Lord. So it's from volume 30, February 16th, 1932. So this is one of those passages that's, it's really long. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump into, let me see, not the first. I think it's about the fourth paragraph, maybe. So I'm going to jump into where Jesus is speaking to Louisa. Now he says, "This will be powerful before the throne of God, magnetic force, irresistible magnet, that all the acts cry out that they want the divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. But who is the one who cries out? I and the little daughter of my volition. Therefore, as enraptured, it will descend to reign. This is why you go around and around again in the creation, in my acts themselves, in those of the celestial mama, in order to pledge our divine acts themselves for a kingdom so holy, and in those of the creatures, in order to copy them and place in them what might be lacking. But all must have one single voice, either directly or indirectly, by means of the ones who want to make the sacrifice of acting as supplier and repairer in order to obtain that it comes to reign in the midst of the generations. Therefore, what I want you to do and what I do together with you are necessary acts, preparations, formations, substances, and capitals that are needed. When we have done everything on my part and on your part in a way that nothing must be lacking, so can it be said, we have done everything, nothing else remains to do. Just as in the redemption, I said, I have done everything in order to redeem man. My love does not know what else to invent in order to place him in safety. And I departed for heaven, awaiting that he would take the good that the sacrifice of my life had formed and given him. So when nothing else remains to be done for the kingdom of my will on earth, you also will be able to come into heaven, awaiting from the celestial fatherland that creatures take the substances, the capital, the kingdom that will be already formed of the supreme fiat." So when I read this passage, I mean, this is just a thought. I'm going to run with it. We'll see. Makes sense. But it struck me when Jesus said, "But who is the one who cries out?" And I was thinking, today's the baptism of the Lord. So, of course, one of the main important people in the story of the baptism of our Lord is, of course, St. John the Baptist. And who was St. John the Baptist? He was described as one, as the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So when I was reading this whole passage, how Jesus says, that's why you go around and around again. Well, what was John doing in the desert? You know, he was like, repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And he gave, I baptize you with water, but one will come after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Like, so I was making me think, in a way, what we do, the acts and rounds, we take an act and we do it in divine will. So it's a continuous act. It's an act that never ends, because with the human act, as we know, once it's done, okay, it's done. But when it's a divine act, it repeats over and over for all eternity. I love you. I love you. I love you. So I just couldn't help but think that there's somewhat, in a way, there's some sort of connection with when we do the acts and the rounds, but then also what St. John the Baptist did, because he really was one of the greatest saints that we have in the church. If you think about it, the solemnity, June 24th, the nativity of St. John the Baptist, it's one of the feasts in the church you can't skip. I think last year, he either was a Saturday or a Sunday. So if it was a Saturday, normally you would just go ahead and do evening prayer one for Sunday. But no, with St. John the Baptist, you have to continue the feast. Or I think if it fell on a Sunday, you would have to do the solemnity, the nativity of St. John the Baptist rather than the Sunday. So that already shows us how important he is for us and his mission and what it meant. And imagine he was also a great martyr for us. So again, like I said, I don't know, this is just a thought that came to when I read this passage today. It just struck me made me think about him and about the baptism of our Lord, which also for us, it's the presence of the Holy Trinity. It's one of the times in the Bible where we have the presence of the Trinity, God the Father, the voice of the Father, then God the Son. Jesus was there being baptized, and then the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit flew down from heaven in the presence of a dove. So already today, it is a beautiful feast, but also, as we know, it's the closing of the Christmas season. So, and now we start ordinary time. So again, the passage of the seasons. And anyway, so yeah, that's what just came to my mind today about this.
Beautiful. I love that ordinary time too. You know, with the divine will, nothing's ever going to be ordinary again. I just, you know, that's not a theological statement, but that's just a silly statement. But I think it resounds with everyone. Sister?
Marino, I stop it. Yes. One last thought about the Magi, volume 6,
January.
January 6, 1904. And continuing my usual state, blessed baby Jesus came, and after he placed himself in my arms and he blessed me with his little hands, he told me, "My daughter, since the human race is all one family, when someone does some good work and offers some things to me, the whole human family participates in that offering and is present to me as if all were offering it. As for example, today, as the Magi offer their gifts to me, I had all human generations present in their persons, and all participated in the merit of their good works. This is the seed of what we were telling before. This is the base of our hope that all the nations will convert to Jesus, the real and the universal and the divine King. This first thing, because Jesus was looking at each one of us in the three Magi kings, and for faith, we believe that this is the real seed of the conversion of all generations. Also, because I was thinking last day, one priest told us, underline to us the words, word of God, Jesus put his eyes on him, was looking at him. And when Jesus is looking at someone, he's loving him. And the love of God is transforming love. So not because we love God, so the nation will convert to him, but because Jesus put his eyes on the three Magi kings and through them over all the generation. The first thing they offered to me was gold, and I in return gave them the intelligence and the knowledge of truth. But do you know which gold I want now from souls? Not material gold, not, but spiritual gold. That is the gold of their will, the gold of their affections, their desires, their own testes, the gold of the whole interior of man. So the will is the center of the interior of the person. And this is the God that is looking for, the treasure of the humanity, the treasure of the man, his interior life. This is all the gold that the soul has, and I want it all for myself. So he's a jealous God. He wants all attentions to him. Now it's almost difficult for the soul to give this to me without sacrificing and mortifying herself. And this is how mirror, like electric wire, binds the interior of man, renders it more shining, and gives it the shades of multiple colors, giving all spices of beauty to the soul. And this is make me think, what happens with the electrical wire? There is pain. If we put electrical wire on our body, we feel pain. We can have the risk of to die. It's dangerous. But if we think in a spiritual way, the electric coil communicate the energy. So to accept the suffering, we speak a lot, many times about sufferings, but to remember to ourselves, suffering is not only the pain. Suffering is to enter in communion with God. It saves us through the mystery of sufferings. So we have to accept that suffering is transforming our interior, and we became shining because we don't realize, we feel only the pain in that moment. But at the same moment, God is looking at us and he's seeing that that pain is transforming our interior life. So this is the mirror. But this is also not all. It takes someone who maintains the colors and the freshness always alive, which almost like fragrance and breeze blow from within the soul. It takes someone who offers and obtains greater gifts than the ones he gives. And it also takes someone who forces the one who receives and the one who gives to dwell in his own interior, keeping him in continuous conversation and in continuous commerce with himself. So who does all these? It is prayer, especially the spirit of interior prayer, which knows how to convert into gold not only the internal works, but also the external works, and this is the incense. So the gold is our interior life, especially all desire, the thinking, especially the will. The mirror is our, not only sufferings, but our will to suffer, to enter in communion with Jesus and to receive the power, the transforming power of the sufferings, to be under the eyes of God, to be transformed. And prayer, continuous prayer, is not only the vocal prayer, is to be continual communication with God, also where we are suffering, in continual communication in love. And also, the priest during the homily say that for sure the Magi kings gave their gifts to Our Lady, not to baby Jesus, because he was unable to take with his hands. And so the person who collect the gifts and in a material way give the consegnare.
Hand it over
the gifts to God is Our Lady. And in what we can do the same, we are present in the Magi Kings giving all these gifts every time we give our will, our suffering, and our prayer, spirit of prayer. This is a style of life. But we can lend it over also the gift with Our Lady. So we are not only serve or children of God. We are also Mother of God. We have the responsibility to collect and to keep the treasure of all these gifts with the rosary. Because every time we are in the rosary, we are in the spirit of prayer. We are giving our will, and we are in suffering, because only if we meditate the sorrowful mystery, also if we offer the rosary, meditating of how many suffering, how many needs, spiritual needs we have in the world through the rosary. We know that from, I don't know what is the volume, but the passages that speak about the moment when Luisa moved from in the house of the divino zelo that was opened from the sister of Saint Annibale Marie di Francia. In that passage, they say that in the same way that Our Lady called the Word of God to come on the earth was with the rounds, the same way, the same chain, the rosary, we can call the divine will to come on earth. So we go through the Magi Kings. Through the rosary, we will have the victory of the conversions of all the nations.
Absolutely. Well, it's beautiful. You know, I was thinking about that also because it is spiritual. I mean, the kings brought material. I'm just thinking about myself. They gave gold. I am in no position to give any gold or even acquire any gold. Frankincense, I may have some downstairs. Myrrh, I don't even know what that is. So again, it's all spiritual. And all, like you said, so during that reading, it's all contained within us. And Jesus, I think, summarizes this in volume 20, January 13th, 1927. Again, we all want to give gifts, and here's what we can all give. We all have that. Again, he had to make it easy and accessible. So here it is, volume 20, January 13th, 1927. So the place of my happiness in the world is you, us. And this happiness of mine is formed by my speaking. When I can speak with a creature and make myself understood, it is happiness for me and full of superabundant happiness for the one who listens to me. End quote. So if we want to please God with a gift, we want to be attentive. We want to be present ourselves and listen. And again, I think we could all do that if we want to. And again, that's not what the Pharisees and scribes wanted. And that's why, hence, they had the opposite effect of the divine world. They were not moved by it. They were not enchanted by it. They just didn't want it. Any other final thoughts, any sisters, before we close?
Oh, I had it, and then I lost it. Oh, how... Story it was just life. A passage, basically, where Jesus said, oh, I just had it. What happened? Anyway, it was basically what we were talking about before, Jesus saying that, I will not deny my will to anybody. It's there for everybody to take. And then he goes on to say, only those who willfully, voluntarily do not want to enter my will are the ungrateful ones that don't come in, because that's their own will. Jesus doesn't impede our free will. They don't want to come in. They don't have to come in. But so, yeah, just to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, it's that was the Pharisees and the scribes, that they just did not want the grace and mercy of God. So as long as we want the divine will and we desire to get in there and we're in a state of grace, we could be assured Jesus wants it more than us that we go in.
That's so true. So true. Well, I like to close with something. I think was it Sister Scholastica or Sister Benedicta that mentioned about divine mercy? A sister Faustina. Someone, okay, it was just Benedicta. I have a quote that's really, again, we talk about the breadcrumbs. Of course, she picked up several breadcrumbs of God leaving the divine will for souls. And this is, I like to read a little bit from entry number 145. And this is really, really, I think, fortifying, teaching every one of us. Quote, the soul recognizes that God is counting on it. And this knowledge fortifies it. It knows to be faithful, it will have to face various difficulties. But it trusts in God, and thanks to this trust, it reaches that point to which God is calling it. Difficulties do not terrify it. They are its daily bread, as it were. They do not frighten or terrify the soul. Just as a warrior who is constant in battle is not terrified by the roar of a cannon. Rather, far from being frightened, that soul listens to determine from which side the enemy is launching his attack in order to defeat him. End quote. Everything God gives us is for a reason, and he guarantees he'll bring a greater good of it if we allow him to. This is really so simple, so difficult. Thanks be to God. Thanks you all, sisters, for your vocation, for your wisdom, and for your taking time in this late hour in Italy to share with us. I'm going to allow everyone to say goodbye now, or hello, Vita Sain, and then we'll go back to Poland, and then we have Father Celso joining us in about 32 minutes. So let me go to the participants, and anyone who'd like to unmute themselves may do so now. Thank you.
Thank you, sisters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sisters. God bless. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Take care.
Thank you, sisters. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, sisters. Happy New Year.
Bye. Happy New Year.